Back into the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your co-host Corey Cannon alongside Dalton Miller here once again. We're going to continue on our NFL draft grade by division, and today we're going to tackle the NFC South. We are almost done with this. We'll be done by early next week. So I'm excited to get this out of the way, get this over with, and we'll get into some summer scouting. But there's no need to play around. Let's just dive right in. Dalton, welcome aboard. Welcome back. Your current thoughts on kind of the overarching themes here of the NFC South? They didn't grade out super well compositely. Well, half did. Half were top 10, but none of the teams in the top 10 there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really hate any of it, though. Like, the Falcons and the Saints didn't grade well. The Falcons were 26th and the Saints were 28th. But I, like, looking through their drafts, just quickly, I don't hate, I think, either of them, especially when we look at the Saints draft and what they kind of needed and who they got on day three. I really like what they kind of did on day three. And then when you look at it, when you look at the Falcons, I really like the players that they got. And that's really all that mattered. They only had five picks to work with. And that's probably why they're down so far in this, because they only had five picks to work with. Mm-hmm. But I didn't mind the five picks that they made.
Yeah, I don't think I did either. We'll get into that, though. So let's start with the Saints, since they received the lowest grade. I like their picks starting at 93. I don't love anything before that.
Yeah, well, you're not a huge fan of Kelvin Banks, and I understand that. I projected this pick. I remember
you did
projecting this pick.
We had this pick, in our mock draft.
I said I projected it because that's the pick that I really pushed for that top 16, because it just we heard it really late that this is something that could happen. It started popping up in mock drafts, and we were like, yeah, like there's a lot of smoke here. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at Banks and you look at what is currently on that roster, when it comes to offensive tackle, you're looking at Josh Ball at left tackle.
Yeah.
You're looking at Talisi Fuaga at right tackle, Trevor Penning, who I thought Penning played half decently. So like, maybe you're looking at Penning at left tackle and you're looking at Banks at left guard, because are you going to count on Dylan Raddis? It's like, for me, the offensive line, I don't love moving guys around, but I don't mind moving Kelvin Banks one step inside.
Yeah.
As much as I would like moving him to right tackle. I would like that less. We also both believe that he could be a pretty decent guard. And now you're taking somebody who played tackle to play guard with the ninth pick. But I think, especially with the starting who you're starting mm-hmm. at quarterback right now, I think you need to just play your best five. And I think that your best five is probably going to be some combination of Banks, McCoy, Ruiz, Fuaga, and Penning, because I don't think Raddins is that guy. And I know for a fact Josh Ball ain't.
Oh, for sure. So what's really interesting here is they declined Trevor Penning's fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. So they're saying he's not. I mean, unless he has a huge year, and then they have to give him a contract extension, which could happen. Very well could happen. I mean, they're going to get him on the field. I'm interested to see how they do that, too, because Fuaga was a natural right tackle, played left yes. tackle. Kelvin Banks is a natural left tackle, might play guard. So it's kind of a weird puzzle piece situation to figure out how to fit together. And so I do wonder how they make that happen. I would assume at least to start the season, I think we might see Banks at guard. I think we might see Banks at guard.
I wouldn't hate it.
But that means that you're keeping Fuaga then at left tackle and Penning at right tackle. But then if Banks does end up playing tackle, are you kicking? Like, I hate moving guys midseason, especially I'm fine kicking a guard out to tackle. I think that's
why you take the offseason and see if we can get Penning to play left tackle.
Yeah, that's probably a good call there too. I don't mind that too much. It is an interesting situation though, how they're going to play that out. Moving on to Tyler Shuck. So here's my issue.
I think I would have been fine with Shuck
in the third round. But here's what's going to happen is, one, there's no guarantee Shuck is going to start this year because they're going to let Spencer Rattler battle that out. And I think it's probably like, what's the difference between starting Spencer Rattler in year two or Tyler Shuck, a 25-year-old rookie in year one? Like, that's a quarterback battle. And then if Rattler doesn't pan out, that's fine. You still have Shuck on the roster. But if Rattler doesn't pan out and you're starting Shuck, you're picking top five again next year and you're taking another quarterback. So at that point, you drafted a backup quarterback 40th overall. And I think it's a fine process to draft a backup quarterback, to have a quarterback on rookie control, a backup quarterback for 4 years, if you're drafting them at like outside of the top 100. You drafted one 40th overall here. Because if you're bad, you're taking one next year. Like, you're straight up taking one because Mickey Loomis is going to get fired. Kellen Moore might get fired. Just take the best player available.
I mean, what do you think happens with Carr?
I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to here for me.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
I think you go into the season. The reason why I don't hate the pick is because there is athletic and talent upside there. And so you take that because you don't fully believe in Spencer Rattler, and this is a new regime, and they have no right reason to believe in Spencer Rattler long term. He was a fifth rounder. Mm-hmm. I know that he has talent. I think that he could be a starting caliber quarterback if he develops. But I think that having two young guys battle it out in camp for that starting job, and then if Rattler is the starter to start the season and he doesn't play well, you do have a 31-year-old rookie as a backup to come in, and he has a ton of experience at the college level as well. Like I said, he's a good athlete. He's obviously not actually 31, but I think when you look at the situation overall, they didn't have any better options. And you can't go into it with you can't go into it with Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener with no Derek Carr. And so how much does this pick reek that Derek Carr just, he is not going to be there?
Oh, he's not going to play. That's what I'm saying. I don't think Derek Carr's playing.
You don't think he's playing at all?
No, I don't think so. I would be shocked after picking Tyler Shuck top 40 if Derek Carr's playing at all, especially considering like the insurance policies teams can take out on these guys. And I think that I would be shocked if the Saints don't have something like that here. And how mysterious they've been about it, I don't think he's playing. So they might just start Shuck. Like, if you're taking a 40th overall, you might as well. I think I'd just rather still take the shot on the arm talent of Rattler, because like Shuck has legitimate scar tissue in the pocket. Like, he won't step up at all. He's constantly drifting off platform. And like at that age, his brain is fully developed. A lot of these guys age 20, 21, 22 that are getting drafted, their brains aren't fully developed. His brain is fully developed as well. And I think that matters in this case. So like, man, 40th overall. I wouldn't have drafted the guy over Jalen Milroe. I wouldn't have drafted the guy over to Shedeur Sanders. It's steep, man. Especially considering, again, as I said earlier, if this team is bad again, and on paper, they're bad.
Yeah.
They're taking a quarterback again next year.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
So
you're right. They are. So it makes even less sense. You might as well ride out the year with Rattler and then.
But I could also say that about
round two pick to build around the roster a little bit.
That's my thought. But I could also say that about an NFC East team that we'll grade out later. Like if they're bad again this year, they're going to take a quarterback like top five again next year. And they just traded two day two picks to come up and pick one in the first round. So,
yeah,
I mean, they didn't use a first round pick on Shaq here. So not as steep of an investment at 40th overall. But that's kind of my thought there. It's still a top 50 pick on a quarterback that might not get more than a year to prove that he could be a starting quarterback. Might not even get a year.
He might not even get a year. He might not even get half a year. He might not even start a game.
Yep.
And yeah, so yeah, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense. Moving on. Let's get to the rest of this. Vernon Broughton. I think it's a little bit high, but I think he's a decent role player. Mm-hmm. You really like Sanker. I really like Danny Stutzman. So back-to-back picks where we both kind of like there. Quincy Riley, another guy who's 37 years old, but you had a thought on older corners and the propensity for them to kind of come into the league and play a little bit better, especially on day three, than you would think. And Quincy Riley is a fantastic athlete. Mm-hmm. So we have that to kind of hang our hats on.
I do question how they're going to build out that cornerback room because, like, Alante Taylor is also better in the slot, and he was forced outside last year after they traded Lattimore. I guess Lattimore didn't really even play, but, like, he was forced outside and didn't play well outside. And I kind of think Quincy Riley is kind of the same way. Like, I think he's probably going to be better in the slot, even though Louisville played him outside quite a bit.
Yeah, I think he's got to play outside because I don't think you're out of your mind if you're not playing Alante Taylor in the slot, in my opinion.
He was pretty bad. Pretty brutal not playing in the slot last year.
Well, and I just think he's awesome in the slot. Like he's just his
I agree.
His demeanor is just perfect for it. So
I agree.
Devin Neal, great football player, less juice than we would have liked to see this year. So that's tough, but I think he's a fine player.
Yeah. I love the trend of drafting kick-ass tight ends in round seven, though. I love that we've got this trend building out here. Like Jackson Hawes went round five to the Bills. So like drafting kick-ass tight ends on day three. Love this trend.
Yeah. Just draft dudes who want to punch people in the mouth.
Yes.
And then Fadil Diggs, who, a transfer from Texas A&M, went to Syracuse, led Syracuse defensively in sacks.
Decent little player.
Yeah. He's all right.
Yeah. All right. Where do you want to take this next? Let's take it to the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, boy.
I love this draft.
Do you?
Yeah, why not?
James Pierce in the first round and trading a future first to get him.
No, that was a terrible decision. But the players. Like seriously. And that's why their grade was so bad, or it should be why their grade is so bad. It was what?
That's fair. Outside of that, I like this draft. Outside of
the I like the players that they drafted.
Yeah.
Is that the worst? Is that the worst draft trade that we've ever seen? I mean, what is Terry doing down there?
That's pretty bad.
Because it sucks because, like, Jalen Walker is somebody who was universally loved. And to get him at 15, I think is good value for a player who, we were probably like, 15 is okay for us. Mm-hmm. That's how we feel about him. But we had heard about him at number 4 at one point. So, like, somebody who the NFL really loved. James Pierce was both of our either number one or number two edge rushers coming into summer scouting because of the bend, the ability. Some of the off-field question marks make the trade look even worse, the coachability stuff. But getting Xavier Watts where you got Xavier Watts is disgusting. And pairing him with who I believe to be the best pure free safety in the NFL in Jesse Bates is dirty.
Yeah.
And that's where this comes down to for me. And this is why I don't hate this draft, because I'm a psycho for safety play.
Yeah. And I know you don't love Billy Bowman.
Now, drafting Billy Bowman immediately after that is an interesting decision.
So, where I love Billy Bowman the most, though, is when he can play kind of stationary. And what I mean by that is, like, he's taking read steps. He's not bailing and running, but like where he can take those read steps and trigger back downhill. And I think he's going to be able to play a lot in the slot here. And I think he's going to be able to play a lot in the box in this role here in Atlanta now, as a result of taking Watts with Bates here. And so I like it when you can kind of think of him as that big nickel third safety, and then in the slot as well. So that's where I do like it. I do like it quite a bit here.
Sure. It's so tough for me because I don't know. It just is. They have him listed as a nickel. They also have Kobe Bryant. They also have Jordan Fuller. They also have Clark Phillips, who obviously
Clark Phillips is a good player. He's a
tiny guy, nickel guy. And so, like, a pretty crowded room already there. I feel like they could have looked at more edge rush presence
around after drafting two in the first round.
Did they?
I mean, I think Jalen Walker is probably better off at the second level.
But, like, even beyond that, like, Ebukite, oh, I guess they have Leonard Floyd. Yeah, I didn't think about Leonard Floyd. Yeah. So they didn't really need to go ahead. So, okay, I dislike that a little bit less. Maybe an actual corner there. But, I mean, maybe they think that Billy Bowman is going to be a corner, like a legit corner, outside corner. But I can't imagine that person.
No.
And then they finish it off with Jack Nelson.
Developmental tackle. Yeah.
If you're gonna draft an offensive tackle from Wisconsin, I'm just literally never gonna, or Iowa. Like, I'm just not gonna be upset with you at all.
Yeah. Even the ones we don't like tend to turn into something like Alaric Jackson. So it's just like that's like, an Iowa guy. Yeah.
Like, they're not great athletes, not great technicians, but they just kind of get the job done, and that's just kind of the Midwest offensive lineman way of doing things.
All right, Carolina Panthers. Carolina. I'm skeptical of Tet here, but the rest of this draft, dude, I think they cleaned up on value pretty freaking awesome here in this draft.
Yes. Yes, I don't have a pick I dislike here. And we say that with Tet, but Tet was still like a top 10 player for both of us.
Top 12 for me. Yeah,
He was a round two player for me, but I only had 9 true first round picks. So, like,
I'm just interested to see how they coexist. Two guys in Leggett and Tet, who both I think are more X and run more of an X route tree. And Tet did have some slot reps at Arizona and show he can play some big slot too. So maybe that's how, or maybe they think Leggett can play some more Z.
Well, they're different players in, like, when they have the ball in their hands, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
that's my biggest gripe. But I get wanting to.
I think at the end of the day, they're just not very high on Leggett right now.
Yeah.
Based off of what we saw from him as a rookie,
which sucks because they traded up to get him and back into the first round last year.
Yeah. And I really like the player coming out of South Carolina, but 1 year wonder, older guy. Maybe it'll take him some time at the NFL level to get it. Maybe he never does get it, but.
But I think the edge rusher. Mingo. Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah.
But the edge rushers. I love the double up to get Princely in round 3 too.
Yep.
Even with the off the field stuff, absolutely. And then Trevor Etienne was one of our favorite backs in this class.
If he stays healthy, man. Yeah. He could lead that team in rushing next year, because again, Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL again. So, like,
rip.
Yeah, but I think Scorton getting him at 51 is, I just think he's a straight up better edge rusher than James Pierce, and you got him 25 picks later, and you didn't give up 2 future second round picks or 2 future day 2 picks to get him.
That's still insane to me.
They did trade up to get him, but it was minimal.
Yeah.
Him at 265, which is where he was at the combine, where he like. That's better than him at 283, where he was playing at Texas A&M. So I'm still bullish on Nick Scorton here, especially with Ejiro Evero now too as his defensive coordinator. filthy double up right there. And then Prince Ian and Mielen at 77, probably pretty appropriate because, like, we've mentioned it on this podcast before, like, we just keep waiting for Princely to consistently get it. And that's been kind of the same theme for 3 years now.
Yeah.
So, like, yep. The tools are there. The athletic traits are there. Maybe he can get it. But that's a pretty appropriate draft slot for him there at 77.
I think so, too. And then getting Lathan Ransom to come and beat people up is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, dude, that safety room is actually a lot of fun because they have Trevon Moehrig. They have Nick Scott already. So you can use Lathan as
be on the box.
Battering ram box player. Because you have I kind of like their linebacker room too, just because it's a good dichotomy between Trevon Wallace, who is high upside. You're kind of hoping that he rounds into a good player with a good player who's just not a very good athlete, and Josie Jewell. And then you bring Ransom in there, who can come into the box and slam into people with 200 pounds. So I do like that trio of safeties and linebackers plus safety.
Yeah. Pretty good draft here. Those day three picks, again, Cam Jackson's a big dude, knows to stick up with theirs along that defensive line as well. Mitch Evans and Jenny Horn, I'm fine with doubling up at some position players there, some skill players there as well. Especially getting Jimmy Horton round seven, I think is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Buccaneers.
Great draft.
Dude.
Great draft. I'm kind of surprised that this is 11th. And I'm kind of wondering why it's 11th, because when you look at this, like I think they got Chris Godwin's replacement.
I think so too. He only signed.
It doesn't have to be in year one, but like the way that, and I've talked about this before, like the way that Chris Godwin wins, like it's not, there's no one like overwhelming trait with him. It's just, he's damn good at everything.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Emeka Egbuka is. They're even both sneakier, better athletes than you would think that they are.
Yeah. And especially considering Godwin might be out until late October, early November, still recovering from that ankle injury. This is a day one contributor. Yeah. Like he's going to take Jalen McMillan snaps from day one. People thought like Jalen McMillan would be that guy, but Egbuka is going to be a day one starter. Probably day one wide receiver two here with being a top 20 pick here. Again, I couldn't agree more about the Godwin replacement stuff and the similarities in how they play and how they win. Doubling up in corner is awesome as well. Getting an outside guy.
They needed it so bad.
Yeah, they did big time. Jacob Parrish at 84 is tremendous, dude. Oh, I love that so much.
It was a little bit interesting because Tyke Smith played pretty well last year. So I'm wondering if they moved Tyke more towards safety a little bit.
And so Jordan Whitehead didn't resign there. So I was.
Yeah, play him. Play him at free and play Antoine Winfield Jr. everywhere. But getting an upgrade, hopefully, with Benjamin Morrison from Zion McCollum. McCollum, I think, might be a good player, but there's just, it's athletic upside still years into this as a fifth rounder. You need somebody who is going to be a little bit more on the opposite side of Jamel Dean. And this is a defense that has consistently been able to get a lot out of their corners, whether it be Dean or Carlton Davis or really anybody who they have thrown back there. So good cornerback play has been a part of this. And I think that the type of defense that they run, they still run a lot of cover three looks, which is perfect for Benjamin Morrison. And I hope that he is healthy enough and that it doesn't continue to cause him problems and that he is able to come back fully healthy from that, because that was a weird injury and the second time he's had it. So concerning as well.
Yeah, I agree. Again, if that hip is healthy, man, they got a ball player there outside of the top 50. Kind of where Benjamin Morrison has been mocked from the start, to be completely honest. I mean, he was a first-round mock over the summer, like mocked in the first round.
But once he got injured, it was...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even like Dane Brugler and his preseason big board had Morrison hanging around like, I want to say like 40, like 35 to 50, somewhere in that range. So kind of fell right where, like, I guess the industry kind of saw him from the beginning. David Walker at 121, dude.
Yeah, I was... Great pick.
That's a Buccaneers player all day, dude. That's a
yeah, and I mean, so is Elijah Roberts too. Yeah. So I mean, I'm down for that double up specifically because you got the guy who built like a brick ass house, in David Walker, sawed off guy, really powerful, and then Elijah Roberts who fits their mold as their four eye guy, their four eye five, you know, head up on the tackle guy. Just a really nice day three fit. And I think that those players, the guys who you look at and you're like, I think that he could be a good run defender at the NFL. I don't think he's going to be a great pass rusher. He's a little bit of a tweener, but like we have the position for him. And that's exactly what that Tampa Bay front has because they like to run those odd fronts with two kind of outside linebacker types. And so pairing him with Kancey and with Vea, with those guys in the interior, I think is a nice little fivesome up front. And then Tez, man, just brings what we thought was speed. I mean, when you watch him on the field, he's obviously a lightning bolt. Where he fits as a wide receiver at the NFL level, I don't know. Is he going to be able to return punts? I don't know. But damn if he's not electric with the ball in his hands. And he is very, very difficult to cover if you can't get your hands on him. So very interested to see his trajectory at the NFL level. And I think that he's a player who extremely productive at the college level. And it'll be interesting to see if we can find a niche role for him at the NFL level at his size.
Yeah. Again, he's not as explosive as Tutu Atwell.
But he's a better football player.
He's a better football player for sure. I'm glad he got drafted. I'm interested to see how this plays out as well. If there's a team that can make it work, in like a culture that can make it work, it's Tampa. Again, Jason Light only drafts high character individuals. Like he sticks to his guns year after year after year. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Again, that Parrish pick at 84 might be my favorite pick in the draft.
Yeah.
A top five pick in the draft for me. Like that is tremendous value. He's going to be their day one nickel and he's going to come down here and he's going to hit. I love it. All right, let's go through and grade these guys, these teams here. So let's start with the Bucs since we're already here.
It's an A.
A.
Yeah, it's an A. This was a top five-ish draft.
Yep.
I absolutely agree with that. Next, the Carolina Panthers. I think that this is a solid B+.
I was going to say A minus.
Yeah.
Like I think you can find contributors all the way down to round six.
I think an A minus is good. I think an A minus is a good grade there.
Mm-hmm. If I saw the vision for the eighth overall pick a little bit better, I might give it an A, but I need to see that vision. So Falcons, are we going based off of names or are we taking the trade into account here too?
You have to take the trade into account.
I mean, the names are awesome still, like B-.
Oh, with the trade, it's a B-?
I mean, yeah, because the names are great. If like...
You're right.
The names are good.
God, that trade was so terrible.
C+, B-. I think I wouldn't go any lower than a C+, though, with this.
I'm going to go C-. That trade was that bad. I mean, it was just like one of the worst of all time.
Especially considering the Giants traded 2/3 for the pick literally right before that.
Yeah, and how high is that pick going to be?
Depends how Michael Penix is going to play here. We'll see. Completely quarterback play dependent there on a quarterback who we have very little sample size on. And then the New Orleans Saints here.
I like this. I don't hate this. The vision is a little bit funky for me, but I like the players that they picked on day three, and I'm a day three, you know, football nerd kind of guy here. So I'm going to give this one a C. I don't hate it. I don't love it. Round two and round three, I don't love. Round one is okay for me. But I like day three. Day three saves it.
I'm going to roll with the C-. I think the first three picks are overdrafted.
And that's where it matters the most.
The redeeming quality, the mid-rounds are some redeeming qualities there.
Yeah, but it's just my bias towards day three and finding players that I like to fit roles, and I think that they did that. But, yeah, I think when you're talking about getting top-end players, I liked Banks more than you did, so I don't mind that pick as much. But Shuck and Broughton are a little bit high for me, and I was lower on Sanker than you were. So
Yeah. Agreed.
All right.
Well, let's get the people out of here.
Let's do it. Guys,
until next time.
Thank you for listening. I have to just quickly say I love you because I haven't said I love you in like 5 or 6 episodes probably. And I need to tell you guys that I do. So, I mean, I'll let Corey take us out here, but I wanted to tell you guys thanks for listening and that I do love you very much.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much. We're almost a full year into this thing. So, but yeah, subscribe to the Substack, subscribe on YouTube. You know what? And we'll get into some more like scouting specific stuff. So peel back around then for that as well. And we'll direct you a little call to action there as well. So keep around here, hang around, until next time. See you later.